The second annual Richland Area Clues in the News Murder Mystery Weekend will be held tomorrow and Sunday in downtown Richland Center. Everyone is welcome to participate and help solve this year's mystery. If you wish to participate, you can register the days of the event or ahead of time. Kathy Hamby is an organizer of the event.
We're going to have the pre-registration again on Friday night at the Frank Lloyd Wright Museum. They're gracious enough to give us that spot. Anyone who pre-registers will get their packet. They won't get any clues. All they will get is the booklet and the map. Both Saturday and Sunday, the registration starts at 10, and it runs until 4 on Saturday and 2, I believe, on Sunday. But anybody can play as many hours as they want. You can come one day, 2 days, or just stop in. You can stop in, pick up your packet, pay your registration fee, fill out who you think done it, and leave, and you still might win the grand prize.
Tonight's pre-registration at the A.D. German Warehouse will be from 5 until 7 p.m. This year's mystery is titled Blood in the Dust, What Happens When Murder Mystery Weekend will be similar as last year, which was a big success.
People came to town. They went to the depot. If they had not pre-registered the night before at the Frank Lloyd Wright building, they picked up their packets with pictures of the suspects so they could identify the people that were walking and wandering around town. The packet also had a map of downtown Richland Center. You would take your packet, read your information, and go from store to store. You would walk in. Sometimes a business owner would decide to put the clue right by the door, so you just go grab your clue and run, or they could hide it in the back of the store. You read your clues, and not everything that was part of the mystery was obvious in the clues or the newspaper. So you had to walk around and ask people, why did you do this? I read that you were here. I read that you were arguing with somebody, or that was an odd purchase to make. For what reason? I want to hear about it.
Cost of a packet is $10, which will be paid during registration. Each paid entry includes one ballot with a chance to win prizes. All ages can participate. Become a super sleuth and take part in the second annual Richland Area Clues in the News Murder Mystery Weekend in downtown Richland Center. You can find out more by calling 608-647-8163 or on the Richland Area Clues in the News Mystery Weekend Facebook page. The event is sponsored by Richland Area Crime Stoppers. A Prairie du Sac man is behind bars following an investigation into internet crimes against children. The Sauk County Sheriff's Office says detectives arrested 75-year-old Dennis Rolke on Thursday. Officials say the arrest stems from a search warrant executed in early February at a residence on Rawl Road. Investigators seized computers and other electronic devices, which were then sent for forensic analysis. According to the Sheriff's Office, that analysis led to charges of possession of prohibited material. Rolke was booked into the Sauk County Jail and is currently awaiting an initial court appearance. Captain Matt Birch says the department remains committed to pursuing cases involving the exploitation of children and encourages anyone with information on criminal activity to contact local law enforcement or the Sauk County Crime Stoppers tip line. Ed Chitwood states the Milk Into Cheese Drive has begun and runs through Labor Day. This is a fundraiser to deliver cheese to 5 different food pantries throughout the year. Donations of any size are gladly accepted, or $170 buys 1,000 pounds of milk, which makes 100 pounds of cheese. 100% of the money raised goes to the cause. Please make checks payable to MIC, as in Milk Into Cheese, and send those to 16025 Eddie's Lane in Blue River, zip code 53518. We also have that address on the WRCO website. There will be a hayride later this year. WRCO will provide details as soon as they are available. Yesterday, the Wisconsin State Patrol Toma Post arrested 57-year-old George Lee Payne of West Salem following a traffic stop at the intersection of Highway 27 and Snyder Road in Crawford County. The incident occurred shortly after 3 p.m. when a Wisconsin state trooper initiated the stop and subsequently requested field sobriety tests. While Mr. Payne refused to participate in the physical tests, a preliminary breath test indicated a blood alcohol concentration of 0.292, more than three times the legal limit. The Richland Center Park Board has scheduled its next official meeting for Monday, August 24th. The session will begin at 5 p.m. and will take place in the Community Center Meeting Room. One of the primary highlights of the evening's agenda involves forward-looking financial discussions, specifically focusing on the fee projections for the 2027 calendar year. Additionally, the board will conduct its routine fiscal oversight by reviewing and moving for the approval of the monthly bills, ensuring that the department's expenditures remain transparent and accounted for. The meeting will also feature a series of comprehensive monthly reports, providing updates on various facets of the park system. Attendees can expect detailed insights into the current budget status, as well as administrative updates from the Recreation Director and the Woodman Senior Center Coordinator. The session will conclude with a report from the Park Board President, offering a broad perspective on current projects and the general direction of the city's parks and recreation initiatives. The upcoming Blue River Autumn Festival is set to feature two compelling presentations that delve into the rich archaeological and personal history of the Blue River Muscadet region. Scheduled for Saturday, August 29th, the events will begin at 10 a.m. at the Community Building located at 201 Clinton Street. Opening the morning session, Mark Cupp, Executive Director of the Lower Wisconsin State Riverway Board, will present Mastodon Hunters to Mound Builders. This PowerPoint-assisted journey spans 14,000 years, tracing human habitation from the Ice Age megafauna hunters to the late woodland traditions effigy mound builders. As an expert in cultural landscape preservation, Cupp will illustrate the technological evolution of tools and weapons used by the valley's inhabitants over 10 millennia. Following Cupp, storyteller Ben Moffitt will offer a more personal historical perspective with his presentation, A Girl from Blue River, Lottie Coombe Robertson, a descendant of Richland County's first non-native settler. Moffitt will share the spirited life story of Lottie Coombe Robertson, daughter of Dr. Warner Coombe. This presentation highlights the mission of the Cross Currents Heritage Center to preserve the historical integrity of the local area and its ancestral legacies. The Universities of Wisconsin Board of Regents has officially approved its operating budget request for the 2027 through 2029 biennium, a proposal built upon three fundamental commitments to the people of Wisconsin. This strategic plan aims to ensure that every resident has access to an affordable, high-quality UW education, while simultaneously focusing on building the state's workforce and fostering the next generation of businesses. Furthermore, the budget seeks to advance life-saving medical discoveries and improve healthcare access across the entire state. At the heart of the proposal is a four-year tuition pledge designed to provide financial predictability for students and families. Under this plan, the board would freeze tuition for the 2027 through 2029 biennium, provided the state invests $190 million to cover the costs of the freeze and maintain educational quality. In the years following, any tuition increases would be capped at the rate of inflation. This pledge is complemented by the Wisconsin Work and Learn Initiative, a last dollar aid program specifically for students from families earning less than the state median income in exchange for a work commitment. To bolster the economy, the request introduces Tech for Tomorrow and Accelerate Wisconsin, initiatives projected to create 300,000 career-ready workers and 2,500 new businesses over the next decade. The healthcare sector would see similar growth through the Healthy Wisconsin program, which aims to train 35,000 new professionals, and Cures for Tomorrow, which focuses on critical research into cancer, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's disease. During the Regents' meeting, the request received strong backing from a diverse group of supporters, students like Emma Close of UW-Whitewater and Lindsay Lewhouse, a U.S. Army veteran at UW-Platteville, emphasized how such funding makes degrees and veteran support possible. Business leaders, including Brian Elwood of Xcel Energy and Nicholas Galich of Freightert South, noted that educating and training talent locally creates a sustainable workforce cycle that benefits Wisconsin communities for decades. Following the board's approval, the request now moves to the State Department of Administration for further consideration by the governor and the legislature. The upcoming Southwest Meets Midwest concert at the Hillside Theater promises a profound musical journey that bridges disparate landscapes through the universal language of sound. This evocative performance features the acclaimed jazz trumpeter Delbert Anderson, who joins forces with guitarist and cedar flutist Wade Fernandez and bassist Felix Sainz Jr. Together, these virtuosos create a unique collaboration that explores and celebrates the deep cultural and artistic connections between the American Midwest and the Southwest. This concert serves as a centerpiece and a special addition to this year's Native Art Marketplace, a vibrant gathering presented by the Little Eagle Arts Foundation and Taliesin Preservation. The event is particularly significant as it mirrors the legacy of Frank Lloyd Wright, reflecting his enduring ties to both the rolling hills of Wisconsin and the desert vistas of Arizona. By showcasing Native artists from the Great Lakes area and beyond, the collaboration honors the architectural and natural spirit that Wright championed in both regions. Music lovers are invited to experience this extraordinary celebration of heritage and harmony on August 24th. The event will take place from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the historic Hillside Theater, located at 6604 Highway 23 in Spring Green. Tickets for this exclusive evening are priced at $42, offering attendees a rare opportunity to witness a musical intersection of geography and soul. The Village of Spring Green Board is set to convene Wednesday, August 26th at 7 p.m. to address a comprehensive agenda ranging from seasonal community events to infrastructure upgrades. The meeting, which will be held at the Village office on North Lexington Street and accessible via Zoom, begins with a consent agenda designed to streamline routine administrative matters. Key items within this portion of the meeting include the approval of the financial report and disbursements, along with several requests for community gatherings. Notably, the board will consider the annual Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair, scheduled for June 2027, which necessitates the closure of Jefferson Street. Additionally, street closure requests for homecoming festivities at the Shed and the St. John's Fun Fest in August 2027 are on the docket for approval. Under the category of old business, the board will revisit the ongoing abatement process for the property located at 433 West Madison Street to evaluate current progress. Members will also continue their deliberations regarding proposed amendments to Ordinance 180, which governs the use of bicycles and play vehicles within the village. These discussions are part of an ongoing effort to ensure local regulations remain current and effective for public safety. The new business segment of the meeting features several significant agreements and infrastructure projects. The board is expected to discuss and potentially act on the police school liaison officer agreement with the River Valley School District, reinforcing the partnership between local law enforcement and educational institutions. Infrastructure remains a priority as the board reviews a professional services agreement with Jewell Associates Engineers for the proposed reconstruction of South Peterson Street. Furthermore, the maintenance of public facilities will be addressed through a proposal to replace the municipal pool filter. The meeting will conclude with an informative presentation by Emily Whitmore, providing the 2026 version of the library data update to keep the board apprised of local library trends and usage. Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Workforce Development have announced a major investment in the state's labor force with approximately $5 million in new funding for the Wisconsin Fast Forward Grant Program. This initiative is designed to empower employers across all sectors, ranging from manufacturing and healthcare to information technology, by supporting customized occupational training for their staff. By funding innovative local and regional solutions, the program aims to help Wisconsin businesses meet critical training needs while simultaneously helping workers gain the skills necessary for full-time positions, career advancement, and increased earnings. The grant opportunity is open to a wide range of applicants, including public agencies, private organizations, consortiums, and tribal governing bodies. Individual grants typically range from $5,000 to $400,000, providing a flexible pathway for businesses of all sizes to attract and retain highly skilled talent. Since its inception in 2013, the WFF program has already awarded over $58 million to support the training of more than 32,000 workers across 516 projects. Employers interested in applying for this latest round of funding must submit their applications by 3 p.m. Central Time, Monday, October 5th, via the Wisconsin Fast Forward website. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds the public that the best way to protect young wildlife is by observing them from a safe distance and allowing them to grow in their natural environment. Many common Wisconsin species, including rabbits, squirrels, and songbirds, produce multiple litters or clutches each year. While seeing these young animals in a backyard can be exciting, the DNR emphasizes that they must remain in the wild to learn essential survival behaviors from their parents, such as finding food, escaping predators, and developing necessary social skills. There are several critical reasons to keep wildlife wild. Human contact is a major source of stress for wild animals, who perceive people and domestic pets as predators. This stress can lead to severe health issues or even death. Furthermore, wildlife have specialized dietary needs that are nearly impossible to replicate in captivity. Inadequate nutrition during development often results in irreversible deficiencies. Habituation is another significant concern, as animals that learn unnatural behaviors from humans are unlikely to survive if eventually released and may even become dangerous to the public. Beyond the welfare of the animals, handling wildlife poses health and safety risks to humans, including potential bites, scratches, and the transmission of diseases or parasites. It is also important to note that keeping wild animals as pets is illegal under state and federal laws, as most species are protected and cannot be possessed by unauthorized citizens. To help ensure the safety of Wisconsin's young wildlife, citizens are encouraged to visit the DNR's Keep Wildlife Wild webpage for species-specific guidance and further information on why it is best to leave animals in their natural habitats. The American Red Cross urges donors to give blood or platelets now to help hospitals and transfusion centers stay prepared to help all patients. A Red Cross blood drive is being held today until 4 o'clock at Cornerstone Church in Spring Green. There will also be a blood drive Monday from 1 until 6 p.m. at Holy Family Catholic Church in Laval. Appointments may be made by calling 800-RED-CROSS, visiting redcrossblood.org, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Walk-ins are always welcome. The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, in partnership with the Hill and Valley Exploration Tour, is launching the sign-up period for the new Hill and Valley Exploration Tour Digital Passport. The official launch took place on Wednesday during the Music in the Park event in Reedsburg. This free mobile pass connects travelers directly with 17 local farms and rural venues. The tour takes place over two weekends, September 19th and 20th and September 26th and 27th. Participants are invited to explore the back roads to discover the people, places, and stories that make rural Wisconsin special. The tour celebrates vibrant small farms, artists, local businesses, food producers, and hidden gems across northern Sauk, Juneau, and Richland counties. Attendees can shop for farm-fresh foods, meet farmers, and enjoy farm-to-fork experiences. The Hill and Valley Exploration Tour is celebrating 10 years of connecting communities to agricultural roots. Established in 2017, the event has grown from 13 to 21 unique destinations, inviting visitors to experience, learn, and buy local goods across the rolling hills of the Driftless area. Learn more at explorehillandvalley.com. We have two new winners today in the Grace calendar drawing. They are on ticket number 3022, Sean Ryan from Richland Center, and on ticket 1278, Sandra Turner, also from Richland Center. Congratulations to both of you.